Hello and welcome to the Fantasy Process Report. This is Nick leading you off today instead of the normal Matt Underdealer. I'm with my friends here.
Tori Chance.
Guest speaker. And the usual over there in Miami.
Hey, I'm Jason down in Miami hanging out. It's a little less humid than it's been recently, so it's looking better for the fall and winter when I won't have to be dealing with any snow.
Yeah, either way, it is football season, and we have been a while without actually providing an episode to all of you. We've only seen one game since the last time that we talked to you. So we've got a lot of football to talk about. Let's see. I think what we're going to do today is, since there's so much football to talk about, we were just going to go team by team and kind of give our thoughts generally about the players within each team. Fantasy relevance, guys who have come on, guys who have already faded away after just 2 weeks. But yeah, I think we're going to start out. You want to start in the NFC East with all our hometown teams?
Yeah, let's do it. We got a lot to talk about with the home guys and the Cowboys down there struggling a little bit.
You want to start with the Cowboys? You brought up the name first.
Yeah, well, all I got to say about the Cowboys is I would start no one on that team except for Ezekiel Elliott. I would own no one on that team except for Ezekiel Elliott. I saw on ESPN Dak Prescott is somehow owned in like half of the leagues, which is just baffling to me. He's a very gifted athlete. He's a good quarterback. He can run, whatever, but there's just nothing outrageous there. Like, I feel like his range as a point total from week to week is like 9 to like 14. Like, he's not going to throw any picks because he doesn't take any chances. But at the same time, he's not going to take any chances, so he's not really going to get any touchdowns, and he'll get you a rushing touchdown every once in a while. But, yeah, I would stay away from all Cowboys. And even Zeke, he's guaranteed to get you those touches and those yards and those touchdowns, but it's nothing like 2 years ago when he had that awesome offensive line. He had the outside threats that were taking away linebackers, and teams weren't stuffing the box as much, but now they're just focusing all on him. So he'll still get his, and he'll eat, as they like to say in Dallas, but nothing close to 2 years ago. So I'm staying away from that whole team.
I hate that thing, that whole Zeke feed me thing. Cause
that whole gif.
It used to be cool until he started doing it, and now him in those stupid belly shirts of his. Oh, my God.
What is he going for there? Do we even know?
I don't know.
Cheerleader, maybe?
I think, yeah. I saw a picture online of the Tracy Morgan from The Longest Yard.
Yeah. Yeah, he's cheering on Adam Sandler.
Yeah. Oh, my God, yeah. That's why I was like, yeah, that's right. That's exactly what he is.
I couldn't agree with Jason more. I think that you don't own anyone except Elliot right now. There's no one you can touch.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say across the board, Elliot's the only one that's owned in 100% of leagues. In fact, the only one on their team that's owned in even 50% of leagues. I could see the case for Dak, but only if you're in a deeper, like, 12 to 14 team league, and even then he's not your starter, hopefully.
Yeah.
No, for sure. I think the most telling sign about the situation in Dallas is their most promising tight end prospect was a former basketball player, Rico Gathers at Baylor, who, when I was watching the game the other night, Nick, you probably noticed this as well, they said he only started playing organized football for, again, he played in middle school, but he only started playing organized football like 2 years ago. And before that, it wasn't since like middle school or the very beginning of high school when he switched to basketball. So that's their most promising tight end prospect. Their wide receivers are all over the place. I have no faith in Dak to complete any passes. I was watching one of the games, I think it was against Carolina, the first game, and I just was like watching him as a quarterback. You watch these replays and he's sitting in the pocket and there's no pressure. His offensive line's doing a great job holding away the defensive rush. There's no pressure. He steps into a throw and he has a wide receiver running a slant route right in front of him, 10-15 yards in front of him, and he throws just so far behind him that the guy has no shot of catching it. It was just so wildly inaccurate. He's just not a solid passer NFL quarterback.
Well, that's what exactly it is. He's not accurate anymore, and I don't know if he was like accurate in his rookie season and that's why he was so successful, or it was just the guys could catch the ball no matter where it was, but he does not look like he can throw the ball like to any of his receivers. Zeke right in front of him might be the closest that or the only throw he can make. But even Zeke, I think that their offensive line is hurting a little bit. I think they're becoming completely one-dimensional, so they're going to become predictable. I'm surprised Zeke right now is rated the eighth best running back in, this is 1 point standard PPR league. And that's lower, obviously, than where he was drafted. Obviously, he was drafted as a top five running back, so he's already lost some value. And they don't look like they're making any types of moves to go get a better wide receiver or a better tight end or anything. They're rolling with what they have, and what they have is Zeke. So I think that he's going to continue to drop. If you can get a good trade for Zeke right now, get another top 10 guy, I would go for it. I'd make a move on Zeke if you can.
Do it soon, because...
Yeah, I would jump ship as well.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's a shame, because he is one of the top talents, but he's just a beneficiary, or not a beneficiary, but he's a byproduct of a crappy team. So, sorry, Dallas fans, but your team has seen some dark days ahead of it. All right, so I guess we'll move on to the Birds. I got to get this one out of the way. We might as well get my two least favorite teams out of the way first. let's see. What do you think, Jason?
I think the Birds are in an interesting scenario here where they missed out on, I think a lot of people wanted them to get Josh Gordon, but obviously that didn't happen. Alshon is still out. Aguilar has been killing it so far this year. I mean, not getting a ton of yards, but he's gotten a ton of targets. He's getting a bunch of receptions. He's not dropping.
Just let me interrupt you real quick. I just want to say that it was very enjoyable for me in our fantasy group chat the other day to witness all of you Eagles fans. I don't know about you, but all the ones in our group chat googling their eyes over Josh Gordon being available.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Him becoming an Eagle, and then all in 1 second, him becoming a Patriot, and all of that joy just turned straight
sadness.
Yeah.
Well, there were
so.
There were a lot of tantalizing factors there. One being that Alshon is out, so they need a number one wide receiver. Two being Carson coming back and wanting to get him kind of some help that, like, Carson doesn't have to try and do everything all on his own with that rehabilitated knee. And three being that Malcolm Jenkins reworked his deal maybe a week or two or 3 weeks ago to take less money right now, or I forget how the whole situation worked out, but basically he freed up a couple million dollars in cap space, so the Eagles are working with around like 10-ish million dollars, so the perfect storm was there. I mean, they could have done it. I never understand these trades for players like that, just giving up a marginal late round pick for a proven NFL ready talent. I never understand that. I don't understand why teams would part with these NFL ready guys for a fifth-round pick that may not even make the team out of training camp when that pick conveys. I don't get it. I'm not going to get into that. But, yeah, I think the Eagles are in an interesting spot. And then you have the Ajayi possible injury, and you have Sproles looking a little shaken up, and Corey Clement maybe taking over that backfield, and Carson Wentz coming back. And it's an interesting scenario.
How about you? What do you think of the running backs there?
Jay Ajayi, I've got him on one of my teams. I am so upset. It's not looking good at all with his back injury for this week. If you have the chance, go get Corey Clement. Do what you can. Get that handcuff. He's going to be the guy that they're going to go to this week, with Carson back especially. It's kind of hard to see. The Eagles, you know, struggled pretty bad that last game, so we're hoping for a bounce back, I would say, this week.
Yeah, I will say Corey Clement had a pretty good day filling in for Ajayi. I mean,
he came in
the second half. And it's even more impressive when you look at – so I'm going to look at his stat line. He finished 6 rushes for 30 yards with a touchdown, and then he had 5 catches for 55 yards. And it's more impressive when you consider that he had those 6 rushes for 30 yards, and they were down pretty much the entire last three quarters. I mean, from the first 10 seconds they were down, but for the entire second half they were chasing, so they were looking in those passing situations, and he still had a pretty good day. So I think he's looking strong, and I did see that Ajayi missed practice today, which is not a good sign with a back injury, especially of all things.
Yeah, ESPN's already projected him at a 0, so I'm seeing that as a negative thing going into Sunday.
Yeah, I think that the Eagles are a tough team fantasy-wise. Obviously, the running back position, they have Jay Ajayi, Corey Clement, and they also have Darren Sproles, who is now, I don't think he's active yet, but he's getting close. So when they're all healthy, then they're all going to be in the mix. That's three guys, and they have Wendell Smallwood. Hopefully, when all three of them are healthy, he's not touching the field.
Yeah.
But along with that, they got Alshon Jeffrey coming back. Nelson Aguilar looks great so far. He looks great.
Oh, he does.
Looks like a
it's
number one wide
the
receiver.
Difference. Yeah, he looks like a first-round wide receiver. It's amazing the difference between this and even 2 years ago. I mean, 2 years ago, he just looked like he had no confidence. He was running routes and just the balls were just skipping off his hands. And this year and last year especially, he really made that turnaround, and he just looks like he's hungry and, like, ready for the ball. I think 2 years ago, he looked kind of just tentative, like the ball would just catch up on him all of a sudden, and he wasn't really, like, fighting for it and calling for it. But this year and last year, I mean, more so now, he looks like he's a lot more comfortable in his role. He's becoming, I guess, maybe a veteran, and he's definitely demanding the ball more, and they have to keep feeding it to him.
So my question then is anybody going to benefit or get hurt with the return of Carson Wentz now?
I think maybe Ertz, just because Wentz
hurts
did
or
love
gets
Ertz.
Helped.
What's that?
It said it is hurt by Wentz coming back or gets help?
I think he gets helped.
Better. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I think he gets helped because Wentz just gives them more opportunities on the field. I think Foles did a great job. Obviously, you can't talk enough about the Super Bowl run last year, but Wentz just gives them more opportunities where maybe it's a 3rd and 9 and Foles can't convert, but that same 3rd and 9, Wentz can convert, and it just gives more opportunities for everyone. And I think Ertz is that main touchdown red zone target, and once they get into the red zone, I think Wentz is better at capitalizing on that.
Yeah, he's a pass-catching tight end. He is a stud. He's just a big wide receiver, so he's only going to completely benefit from Wentz being back.
Yeah, I think the best part about him, too, is the fact that they target him so frequently within the, I guess, within 30 yards because he's gotten so many touchdowns right outside the red zone. I would say red zone, but, yeah, they target him into the end zone from pretty far out. So that's one of going to be his best things, and Wentz is the guy who was throwing him those 30-yard bombs into the end zone all season last year. I think the running backs might hurt a little bit because Wentz is there. I think they're going to run more pass plays, so Sproles might benefit from that because he's going to be the pass-catching running back. So Jay Ajayi, between this injury and Wentz being back, I think he might go digress a little bit, so watch out for that. All right. I guess we'll move on to my New York Giants.
Oh, yeah. Let's see what you got for them.
I have to analyze the Giants as a New York Giants fan, and I'm not impressed, and that is mostly offensively, which is sad because that is a fantasy importance is all in the offense. So Odell obviously hasn't performed as a top three wide receiver generally, I guess, where he is right around drafted.
Although, would you put that on him or more on Eli?
Again, let me look at this from a fan's perspective. The offensive line is the issue. They are the reason why Eli has no time to throw the ball. Eli would be able to get him the ball. But the thing is, Eli's not good under duress. He's terrible under duress. All he knows how to do is fall down. He's not. He's not a great quarterback like that. He's made his money with the three-step drop and then pass. It's quick passes or hanging in the pocket. He doesn't move. When he has to move, then we do bad. So I think that we really, really need to address protecting Eli. Hopefully in the future, beyond Eli days, we have a quarterback who is a little bit more nimble. And can
so you're saying Eric Flowers is not the answer?
No, Eric Flowers is not the answer. He's the problem. But I think Saquon Barkley has been doing well despite. So I think that if they are to turn it around, he's only going to improve. I mean, he just had 14 catches as a.
Yeah, I was about to bring up that stat.
Eli
That's
doesn't throw the
insane.
Ball to his running backs either. He doesn't throw
no,
the ball.
Yeah.
So I've been watching him for years.
Granted, I was watching the game and I looked up one of those advanced statistics earlier. The average depth of target for Saquon's targets. He had 16 targets. It was -1.6.
I believe it.
So all of his targets were behind the line of scrimmage.
Wow.
And it was amazing. I was watching the game, and I don't think every single one, but it seemed like every one of his runs or his catches, the first guy did not tackle him. He just made someone miss, and got a few extra yards out of everything. So he's a stud. He'll put it together. But at the same time, Nick, you look at Eli and he can't move around in the pocket, and maybe he doesn't make the throws he used to throw, and he's 30, late 30s now. Would you have taken Darnold at that number two spot, knowing what we know now?
I'd rather have Saquon.
That's what you're asking.
I think that you can get quarterbacks. Quarterbacks in the NFL are essentially like quarterbacks in fantasy. You can take a chance on them and still not hit. You know, I think that a player like Saquon Barkley at the running back position, that's not going to come across too very often that high. So, yeah, obviously, Darnold would be great to have. But I think that we're going to be able to find other quarterbacks in the future. Maybe that means we'll have to settle with a mediocre quarterback, veteran, in the meantime until that quarterback comes along. But we'll get it. I think we have bigger issues right now. Eli has enough years left in the tank that we need to address more things like our offensive line. We've got too good of weapons on the offense for us not to be successful. I saw that the Giants haven't scored 30 points in a game in almost 2 years. The last time they did was... like 2 years ago was the last time they scored 30 points in a game. So it's unacceptable that our offense can't get it going, you know?
Man, that's impressive almost.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that Evan Engram hasn't been completely, I guess, utilized or, been found on the field quite as much as I thought he would have been. I thought, you know, he was going to be coming out of his freshman year of football, you know, that he was going to be one of the top tight ends, and yet, what did he get last week?
Last week he had an okay week, but...
Yeah, he had a pretty good week. I think he had a touchdown, and maybe... I'm not looking at the stats right now, but I feel like it was somewhere around, like, 6 or 7 catches, 60 yards, maybe, in a touchdown.
Week one, though, he had a terrible week. He was targeted probably, like, 10 times and caught the ball maybe twice. It was... He looked like he forgot how to catch the ball week one, so... It was good to definitely see him turn it around week two and remember how to catch the ball.
Even with Eli getting sacked.
Yeah, but you're right, though. I mean, he's going to be the only option. Unless Odell's running quick slants, Evan Engram is going to be the only short yardage guy that he's going to be able to get the ball to. So definitely a good situation for Engram. All right, I guess we'll move on to the biggest surprise in the NFC East, the Washington Redskins. I think everybody usually counts them out. Obviously, they've got some new faces there, Alex Smith, Adrian Peterson. So they've got a lot of new stuff going on there. And so far, I mean, week one, they had a pretty big blowout win. Week two, they had a surprising loss to Indianapolis. So in terms of football, they might be the same old Redskins that we know that are going to maybe barely finish 500, probably under, and miss the playoffs. But... let's look at them for fantasy. Two running backs that really jump out, Chris Thompson and Adrian Peterson. Darius Geis, obviously, with the season-ending injury. So that made room for them to go get Adrian Peterson. It looks like, to me, that Adrian Peterson is going to be the workload guy. But that is on the ground. I think they have to play situationally, and we saw that in the first 2 weeks. The first week, they were up big, so Adrian Peterson got the run the ball like 25 times plus, whereas week two they were playing catch up most of the game, so Chris Thompson then became the guy. He caught 13 catches or something like that, something ridiculous for a running back, something great in a PPR league. But what do we think about their running backs going forward? Do we have to literally just look at their opponent and see if they're going to be running the ball or passing the ball and go based off of that, or how do we handle the Redskins running backs?
I think that's what you have to do. I think I was listening to something else earlier today, and they were saying that the Redskins are like fool's gold, where the first week they looked amazing, but when you look back, it might have just been because they were playing the Cardinals, and the Cardinals were just so bad. And then the next week, like you said, Chris Thompson just blew up. I think he's going to be a solid RB2 pretty much the entire season, regardless of who they play. But then I think you're right, Adrian Peterson, you just have to look at who they're playing. Like, if they ever play the Bills, I don't know their schedule. If they happen to play a team like that, then you put in Adrian Peterson because he'll be getting that 20, 25 carry workload, and he'll be able to have a little leeway with that. But I think if they're playing a tougher opponent and they might be down, And I think Adrian Peterson is not the way to go. I know this week they're playing the Packers, and the Packers have a very solid run game. They stuffed Dalvin Cook this past week, and the Packers are probably going to be up, so I don't see Adrian Peterson getting a ton of work on Sunday.
It's funny to hear him fantasy relevant again. You know, he had the kind of couple years or so where he kind of fell off. You know, Saints, nothing ended up happening, so it's kind of cool to see AP coming back with Washington. I think it's nice to see him on the field again.
Yeah, I know. I always struggle with him because I want to believe that he's washed up and that he can't still be good, but then he has weeks, like even last year, I didn't buy into him all season, but he still had like 2 weeks where he had like 150 yards on the ground or something like that, where it's just like, oh God, is he serious? Like, is he going to make people believe in him again?
Yeah, right.
But
what happened was it took like 30 carries to get there. If you just give him like 15, I don't think he gets the same totals. Obviously, I mean, the counting stats, but I think the more carries he gets, it almost seems like the more he settles in and just puts his nose down and just goes. But if he only gets like 15 carries, I don't think his efficiency is anywhere close to when he has like 30.
Yeah, well, I think that again, it's going to depend on how their team's doing, if they're winning and able to just chew the clock up. But I think that let's look at the other positions on the team. Any wide receiver worth starting? I mean, I wouldn't roster any of their wide receivers. Jordan Reed's
roster,
the only one that
I would
consider.
Roster some of them, but I don't think you start any of them. Like, I have Jamison Crowder because I assumed he would be this kind of slot receiver for Alex Smith, who historically likes to pass it kind of short, but
yeah,
he hasn't been doing much of anything at all. They just signed Breshad Perriman. They have Paul Richardson. There's not a whole lot to like in that wide receiver core. I think the only pass catchers that you should be starting are Jordan Reed and Chris Thompson, and that's it.
Yeah. Jordan Reed, what do we think about him? He's looking really good so far, but he's usually like out by this point in the season.
Yeah, you just gotta hope he stays on the field.
Yeah, but he's looking good so far.
Oh yeah.
But big surprise. I honestly didn't see that coming since he was so injured for like the entire year last year.
I know.
Didn't see him bouncing back.
So it's like you see that he's not injured, but you just kind of assume that he will be injured. He's one of those guys.
Yep. Like Julio Jones. I feel like he always has an injury every single year. He's just going to be that guy.
Or like transition time, NFC South, Greg Olsen. He's one of those guys.
That was a rough one.
Man, you know, he's his foot thing, how long has that been going on now? Almost 2 years
of injuries?
I don't know,
but this was the same foot.
Yeah.
The one that he just fractured was the same one as last year, so.
I heard it's looking like it might be a career ender. Like, if he comes back at the end of the season, which they're saying he probably will, if he comes back at the end of the season and isn't 100%, then it might be a career ender, which is a shame because going to school in North Carolina, I watched a lot of Panthers games, and I was just a fan of Greg Olsen. My roommates and I used to call him Old Faithful because when Cam Newton was back there just dancing around and he had nowhere to go, Old Faithful was always there, and he was that 10, 15 yards downfield ready to catch it and somehow found himself open. So it's just a shame that he had these two just crazy injuries and it just robbed him of what looks like the end of his career.
Yeah, and it's a shame because, like you said, he's a good guy. You know, he's always been one of those stand-up players who always does good for the community. I think he had some kind of issue with one of his kids having some type of illness or something. Yeah,
yep.
So he's always been a big believer and supporter of childhood conditions and issues. But, yeah, it sucks to see him go, but I think you might be right. I think he said at one point he wants to get back there this season and play again this year, but he has like one setback, honestly, I could see him just calling it quits at this point.
Yeah, I think the way they termed that specific injury is typically an 8-week recovery time for what he had in the severity, but I think he's older and it's the same foot, so I could see it taking a little bit longer, and then when he gets back, I don't think he'll be 100%. And I mean, there's just so many things going on there, and I don't know how, at the end of his career like this, I don't know how he gets back to that elite level when he comes back. I don't think he's rosterable once he comes back, which is a shame.
Yeah, well, what about all of the other players on their team? Obviously, Cam Newton, if you have him as your quarterback, you'll probably want to start him. He's got the running ability, obviously. He can throw the ball to anybody. Christian McCaffrey, obviously, no questions about him. He's a PPR monster.
What a stud.
Yeah, you're going to start him every week you have him. But then other than that, you kind of have a bunch of question marks. Like, even there with Greg Olsen going down, what pass catchers are you going to really want? Devin Funchess is their number one receiver. But other than that, their next most owned player is CJ Anderson and DJ Moore. You know, these, I don't really.
Yeah, and DJ Moore did nothing week one, and then he had that one, like, 62-yard touchdown catch week two, and that was it.
Man, it's weird because I'm looking at it, and last week, obviously, the Panthers scored a lot of points. You have these guys, DJ Moore with 12 points, Torrey Smith 12 points, Jarius Wright 17 points, who all had good weeks, but I don't see any of them, like, even being remotely desirable to have on my team, you know? I think Funchess would be the only wide receiver who I'd want on my team, and hopefully I would have better wide receivers to start over him, in my opinion.
Yep, I would keep him on my bench.
Yeah, I think when you look at Cam, though, he's never, as a fantasy quarterback, he's never supported more than one, like, fantasy option on his team, really. I mean, you look back the last couple of years, and it's pretty much just been, like, Cam and Steve Smith, Cam, Greg Olsen, and Kelvin Benjamin, Cam, Greg Olsen, and Christian McCaffrey. And that's, like, they never really have one or two, like, guys that Cam can, like, lift up to be a fantasy-relevant wide receiver. But then you look at, like, Peyton Manning, and that one year he had, like, Eric Decker, Julius Thomas, Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, and, like, all of them were fantasy-startable. And Tom Brady will have his guys, and Aaron Rodgers has his guys, and Drew Brees, you can start a few of those guys, but Cam has never really had more than, like, one or two. So I don't see, and especially with McCaffrey getting as many targets as he does, I just don't see him targeting any other specific guy enough to warrant putting him in the starting lineup or even on your team.
Yeah, well, regardless, Cam gets the job done regardless of who he's throwing to. So I think, like I said, if you have him as your quarterback, not many other quarterbacks I'd want to be starting over Cam in fantasy football. But let's move on to another team, the Atlanta Falcons. A lot going on there. Obviously, we got some injury questions, especially at the running back position. What do we think? Is Devontae Freeman going to stay healthy this year? Or are we going to have to – is Tevin Coleman going to be a good option to have all year long because we're worried about Freeman getting hurt?
I think it's
Coleman time. Freeman, he's had these injury issues. I feel like every year he always misses like one or two weeks or something with some kind of nagging thing, and it looks like this is not minor. So I would say Coleman, just if you have him, start him the rest of the way. I think he'll be utilized more, and he might, even when Freeman comes back, he might pass him at some point to be the number one back because he's just reliable and he's there.
I was going to say, man, I almost hope you're not right, because, you know, Devontae Freeman, he has so much talent on the ground, and he can even, you know, catch the ball. He's a pass-catching, you know, running back, but you're right. I mean, he cannot stay healthy. It's like every single year he's got, you know, that knee injury or something going on, and so you got to think, are you going to put all your cards to Tevin Coleman? Are you going to, you know, take him over Freeman? I think that's where it's going. Where it's headed.
Yeah, I think hopefully if you have Freeman, you want Coleman as well. But again, obviously when Freeman's out, Coleman is a must start. He becomes the lead guy there. They don't really use any other running backs. They have Ito Smith, I guess, who they use a little bit when Freeman's out. But Coleman's obviously the main guy there. And even when Freeman is there, we don't know how healthy he is. But let's assume Freeman's going to be fully healthy. Coleman still gets almost 50% of the workload, or at least the time on the field. So I don't know. I'm almost tempted to trade for Tevin Coleman as an RB2, you know? I think he has that potential for year-long to be kind of an RB2. But we'll see. I agree. I think Freeman, when he is healthy, he is a top talent. I think he's better than Coleman when he's healthy, but it's just, he's one of those players that has had these reoccurring issues here or there. This one seems a little bit more serious than some of the ones in the past that have only been like a concussion or whatever. But we'll see. I think the running back situation is pretty much all Tevin Coleman in Atlanta. But let's see. Julio Jones, obviously, he's having a good year. I think he's gotten just as many targets as he's normally been getting. Has he scored any touchdowns yet?
I don't believe so. But yeah, I mean, I agree. Julio, he'll get his the whole year. I mean, he's like Antonio Brown. He's like AJ Green. I mean, that quarterback just gives him, like, if he normally gets 14 targets, he'll get his 14 targets or whatever. I mean, he just, there's no discounting that. It's just where he gets him and if he'll connect in the red zone, all that kind of stuff. And Calvin Ridley actually had a pretty good day this past Sunday. After a goose egg on the first week. But Calvin Ridley looks like he's working his way into it, which I would say wouldn't impede on Julio's production. I think it would only impede on maybe the tight end position or Mohamed Sanu or something like that. And then Matt Ryan just, man, he put up that MVP season with Kyle Shanahan, and then last year just completely fell flat. I mean, they didn't even come close to what they were in 2016. And this year I think he's a little bit better than last year, but still nowhere close to that 2016 level. So unless he's going to rush for two touchdowns like he did on Sunday every week, then I don't think you should be starting him if you have any other better options.
Yeah, well, I think he's the same type of player that will have an equally fantastic game and then the next week have just the opposite, equally bad. So he could come out and be hit or miss, boom or bust. But speaking of boom, let's go to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the team that has been, I'd say, the biggest surprise so far this season.
It's magic.
Sure.
If you own Tampa Bay Buccaneers players on your fantasy team, I'm sure you're rejoicing, but you probably didn't start them, so probably you're kicking yourself in the butt, other than Mike Evans. I think he's the only one that, you know, even still, I'm looking at their team right now, as good as they've been, as many points as they've scored, Mike Evans is the only one on this team that I would want to start.
Although that's where it gets you. Because after week one, everyone took a step back and said, okay, well, they played the Saints, they got into a shootout, they kept up, but it's not going to continue. I'm not going to start Fitzpatrick because there's no way it happens again versus the Eagles, versus the defending champs.
No, you're right.
Matt Ryan and Julio Jones to nothing. And sure enough, Fitzmagic comes right out and him, DeSean Jackson, just tear it up again.
You know, that brings up another question. Would you guys start DeSean Jackson this week against Pittsburgh?
It's an interesting one. Pittsburgh is also capable of engaging in a shootout.
That's my thoughts exactly. And, you know, DeSean Jackson is that deep threat. And if Fitz keep playing like he is, you know, he's a questionable guy that I might consider putting in my lineup.
Yeah, I think the only reason I would start DeSean this week is because of the matchup and because they're playing against the Steelers, who have been soft as baby poop. Yeah.
Well, the Steelers have their whole own set of issues over there, so who knows what's going on inside that locker room. But still, speaking of the Bucs, I have an interesting stat for you guys. So, the league leaders in passing yards, rushing yards, and receiving yards as of right now are Ryan Fitzpatrick, Matt Breida, and DeSean Jackson.
Wow.
So of those three that are currently leading the league in respective yards, of those three, Fitzpatrick, Breida, or Jackson, which is most likely to remain near the top of that list for the rest of the season?
I don't know, man. Those are all, like, those guys have gotten, like, big play touchdowns and just a couple big plays, and that's why they
lead
their stats.
That's true. So it's not likely, and I would put it at close to a 0% chance that all three of, or any of them, retain that number one spot.
Yeah.
But which would you say is most likely to remain in their top 5%?
Breida.
I would say
definitely.
Jackson there.
Yeah, but, like, do you think that the Buccaneers keep this up?
No.
Or do you,
but
do you
think
Jackson
Jackson
is going to be based off of the Buccaneers being good, and, again, he has to have a big play every game in order to keep up those types of stats.
Jameis,
you know?
Winston's suspension is up next week. Is he going to have his job? Are they going to stick with the beard? Are they going to stick with the beard?
I don't think they want to. I think that they're – I mean, I think it would be wise of them to stick with Fitzpatrick, but I think that they are too invested in Jameis Winston as a franchise. And
I've heard that they kind of want to move on from him anyway, because I think his contract –
I mean, wouldn't you?
They have a, yeah,
yeah.
They, That's true. His shenanigans are too much, and he's not worth it.
But I don't know.
Yeah, I think his contract is up, or they have an option they can or cannot pick up next year. And, and I think I've heard that they kind of want to move on from him anyway.
Well, if they move on from him, that's good. But I have not, from that franchise, I've seen them invest more and kind of just rely on him being the guy that they're building a team around, you know. So it's sometimes it's hard for teams to swallow their pride and give up that, but I think that you're right, they're kind of getting to that point where they're starting to say enough is enough. If he's not the long-term solution, we better move on and find it. So I think that, I don't know, I don't think that they're ready to swallow their pride yet. I think that they might bring him back if Fitzpatrick has one bad game. I think that's all it's going to take, and then they'll put Jameis back in there. But we'll see.
Yeah,
Fitzpatrick
hasn't
showed that he's going to have a bad game. So
I would ride that train, though. I would keep Fitz in. I think that is the smartest thing the Bucks could do right now. Keep it rolling.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But do you keep Fitz in your fantasy lineup? He's put up the best start to a fantasy season, I think, ever.
Let's go with
week one and week two weeks. But
let's go with would
you
rather
try and strike lightning three times in a row. That's the thing.
Would you rather start Ryan Fitzpatrick or Deshaun Watson?
Oh gosh.
I would take Deshaun. It's mostly just because we've had so much of a sample size of Fitzpatrick to know that this just isn't gonna last. So it's just like how long, like 2 weeks, yes, but maybe he does it again 3 weeks, but then the fourth he falls flat. Maybe he makes it 6 weeks. Like eventually it's gonna come.
What about Ryan Fitzpatrick or Andrew Luck?
Ooh, see, I have Andrew Luck and put in a waiver to drop him and pick up Fitz.
I would say Fitz there.
Would say Fitz.
All right, let's do one more. Fitzpatrick or Jared Goff?
I would probably say Fitzpatrick, just because I think what I've learned now, and I took Jared Goff in our league actually, but what I've learned from the Rams right now is their game is so scripted and so centered around Todd Gurley and that running game that there really isn't much like margin of like point differential for Goff, I guess. Like, he's not going to kill you, but he's not going to like win it for you either. Like, because they've probably already won the game at that point anyway. So I think Goff, like, I don't think he can really blow up for a game in that system, just because I don't think he has as much like responsibility in that offense the way McVay designs it. Whereas Fitzpatrick has shown he can blow up for 40 points, no problem. But I don't think Goff really can, you know, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, I think that's tough, though, because that's why I went there. Obviously, the Rams have a really good offense, but you don't know if Goff's going to be the one that's going to be contributing or if it's going to be Gurley on the ground. So, I don't know. I think Fitzpatrick definitely makes a good argument to be started over some of the other fantasy-relevant quarterbacks. But time will tell whether that is an all-season thing or if that's just a Week 3 thing. So,
I would start Fitz this week.
This week, I think you kind of got to roll with him, just like the Buccaneers are going to roll with him until you see something that says otherwise. I think it's smart to roll with him.
Absolutely, yeah. Until he gives you a dud, then yeah, just keep him pumping.
All right, so moving on. The New Orleans Saints, the heavy power offense. I love this team for fantasy. I think this team is just like, it bleeds fantasy football players.
Guys, Michael Thomas is the best wide receiver for fantasy in all football. I'm not going to go so far as to say the best wide receiver in football, but the best fantasy wide receiver in football, no doubt about it.
Who catches the ball that many times? Week one, he had 16 catches.
Can't guard Mike.
Oh, my God.
He's just incredible. I mean, it's just the perfect storm of having Drew Brees give him these, like, picture-perfect passes. It's not having any other wide receivers really competing with him, because Willie Snead is gone and the tight end is Benjamin Watson, and then it's basically just him and Kamara, and Drew Brees is just feeding both of them.
Ted Ginn is that boom or bust guy where he's going to catch every single catch one game, or he's going to get none the next.
Mm-hmm.
That's true, and he'll get five targets, but they'll all be deep bombs down the sideline.
Yep.
And that's the thing about the Saints too, is that Michael Thomas, he's not getting like a crazy amount of yards, but he's getting so many catches that it's just accumulating. And it's like, let's see, 16 catches for 180 yards. That's like, I don't know, 11 yards, 12 yards per catch. That's really not that much. Last week he had 12 catches, only 89 yards. So it's
but he's a
amazing
touchdown machine.
I mean, and they're targeting him in the red zone, which is just like they're looking at him at every angle, any point in the field. And so I think that he, if you can get Michael Thomas, he definitely did something right.
They're also using Kamara as a wide receiver in a sense. I mean, you see him kind of lining up
sometimes
and going out there. I love that. I am all about Kamara. He is a beast.
I think he's getting almost as many catches per game as he is getting runs per game. So
yeah.
Oh, yeah, the first week I think he only had 9.
Yeah, he had 8.
So whenever, Mark Ingram comes back, they're going to be on the field together a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that brings up the question. I mean, I know we're still 2 weeks out, but Mark Ingram coming back, where do you put him just kind of on a week-to-week basis among running backs? So you say he's top 20, you put him closer to top 10 as a Mark Ingram we're talking about.
Yeah, I would say he's top 20 for sure. I don't think top 10 because there are other guys that have more of a lion's share of their offense, and we don't know how, like, I know we saw how they were utilized last year, but Kamara was a rookie and he's still growing into that offense and they're still figuring out how to use him for the most part too. So you don't know how it's going to evolve and if Kamara is going to end up seizing more of that workload. So I think he's top 20, but there definitely is still some stuff there for him.
Yeah, I think when he comes back, he'll be definitely up there. Like you kind of said before, there's really not many other options there, so it's kind of just going to be like he just gets a percentage of the workload that's being shared right now between two players, you know? That'll be changed between three players. I think the Saints, which I love that they do, is they use a lot of sets with both running backs on the field at the same time. So Kamara and Mark Ingram will be on the field, and Kamara will still be drawing people away. So I think that another reason why I love the Saints offense in fantasy, they're going to be getting big plays. You know, they have a way with their offense that they use trickery between the running backs, and I think that their offense just becomes even better when they have both running backs there. So I think that if you get one of those top Saints players, you definitely hit gold. But beyond Kamara, Michael Thomas, Drew Brees, Mark Ingram, I think that you should stay away from the rest of their players from fantasy.
Yeah, there's not much there beyond those guys. You have the elite and then a huge drop-off.
Yeah. So let's see. What division? Do we want to go north? We'll go with your guys' squad. The Green Bay Packers.
Oh, yeah, go Pack. Although, I want to just first say a little prayer and have a moment of silence for the quarterback hurry, because it's no longer existing, apparently. Because after Clay Matthews roughing the passer, just horrifically bad call. If you guys haven't seen it, you should go watch the replay, because it was just astoundingly terrible on the referee's part.
Yeah, it's a shame.
The end of the game, under 2 minutes left, Kirk Cousins had the ball in their own half of the yard, on their own half of the field. He throws a deep bomb and overthrows his wide receiver, and Jaire Alexander plays wide receiver, fades back, picks it off, whatever, game should be over, bibbidi-bop, done, game over. But they call back, and I look at the replay, and Clay Matthews literally is charging in, and at the exact split second that Kirk Cousins is releasing the ball, Clay Matthews has already started his charge, and he hits Kirk Cousins, and they called the penalty because apparently they said Clay Matthews lifted up and drove Kirk Cousins into the ground, which is just not the case at all when you look at the replay. And I figured, okay, you know, Roger Goodell never misses mistakes with, you know, defending the referees at all costs and whatever. On Monday, the NFL doubled down and said, not only are we confirming that this is a penalty, but we're going to use this play as a reference point to teach all future referees that this is a penalty. And I just blew my mind. Like, Clay Matthews, after the game, was in the locker room, and he was just like, you know what, I don't want to get fined, but, like, that was a horseshit call. I have no idea what the hell I'm supposed to do. Von Miller came on ESPN and was, like, directly referencing that play and was like, I honestly couldn't tell you, like, how I'm supposed to go after the quarterback anymore. So I think for fantasy terms, I just – it means that there's going to be so many more penalties called because defense, or they're, either there are going to be more penalties called because defensive players are just going to go with their instincts and just hit guys like they've been doing since they were 8 years old, or they're going to, like, heal up at the last second and maybe the quarterback does a pump fake and they're just out of position or something, and they're just going to be playing tentatively. So I think it just means more points, more yards, more penalty yards, more opportunities in scoring position, more field goals kicked because a 15-yard penalty advanced into field goal range, just all sorts of ramifications because the league can't figure out how to not even protect the quarterback, but just make the game the way it should be, and they're just going crazy. Like, it blows my mind that the league doubled down and said this is a textbook penalty. It just, you look at all these defensive linemen, they're like, I don't know what the hell I'm supposed to do anymore. Like, how are you supposed to touch the quarterback? But there's my 2-minute rant on the Packers' baffling loss from the other night.
Packers should have won that game. That's all I have to say, is that, you know, that was a stupid penalty. I mean, they didn't technically lose, but I can't take that. Yeah, it feels like a loss. I literally just sat there so upset. I mean, I could not believe that they literally called that.
The penalty just blew my mind. I'm not going to say the refs cost them the game, because there were a million things that the Packers could have done differently that would have put the game more out of reach, or won it in overtime, or won it after that play. But, like, that specific play, just, like, I couldn't believe it. And then the league following it up by saying, this is a penalty.
Yeah, I didn't hear that, Jason.
I could not believe it.
That's a shame. I will say that,
Nick,
if
you haven't seen it, you should go watch that replay, because it's literally just a quarterback hurry. Like, he busts through the line. He's in a great position to hit the quarterback. He gets it out just before Clay Matthews starts his dive. He hits him sort of to the side.
I think we've all seen it.
Yes, most of his weight isn't going into him.
I didn't see that the league doubled down on it, is what I didn't see.
It's bad. It's bad.
But, yeah, no, it's a shame. I think that, obviously, if you watch it, it was very boom, boom. It didn't really seem like he drove into him. He landed kind of to the side. He had his arms, he wrapped him up is what he did, and that's what the penalty was called. I watched a good amount of all the random ESPN shows the next day, and it seemed like the general people say that it shouldn't have been a penalty, and that was kind of bullshit. So I think that the general football public has your back on it. But it sucks, because I hate to say this, but they called that the Aaron Rodgers rule, so that came to be because
true.
Your guy's quarterback got hurt. So I don't want to say it's karma, but it's unfortunate that the Packers deal with this, because I feel like year in and year out, there's always some controversial call, and the Packers are always involved in it, and I don't think there's another team that's led to more rule changes than the Packers in their games.
Yeah.
I mean, you have the fail Mary, you have the Dez dropped it, now you have this.
Yep. So, but let's get back onto fantasy. Any surprises?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that rule just makes more offense, because...
Well, I meant
so
for the Packers,
so,
not the rule.
Well, yeah, I think just more offense in general for all fantasy players, because... what the defense player is trying to do is, if not sack the quarterback, at least hurry him to pressure him into making a bad throw, which Kirk did, which Jaire Alexander picked it off. So with this, I mean, it's not even a rule, but with players being more aware of this and the edge rushers, I think they're not going to be, you know, impacting the quarterback as much, so they might not make as many bad throws, so they might not get picked off as much, they might, you know, get called for the penalty, advance 15 yards up, get put into the red zone, score more. So I think it's just an all-around trickle-down effect there.
Jason, if you want a gold star for the day, tell me which Green Bay Packers player is number one in fantasy for their position.
I'm going to guess it's Mason Crosby.
Damn, he got it. Gold star, Jason. Good job.
Well, it's hard not to be number one after 2 weeks when you go 5-for-6.
Well, that kind of caught me off guard. I didn't know Crosby was kicking that many field goals, but hey, man, he's a kicker to have in fantasy right now. But let's see, none.
He is for sure. The
rest of their players really haven't been too impressive. You got Rodgers at 10 for quarterbacks, Devontae Adams at 10, just kind of, I guess, where I would expect him to be. But yeah, Jimmy Graham, not really too much output out of him so far.
Yeah, he's been kind of underwhelming somehow.
He got that touchdown last week, but that was really all that saved him. I'm kind of surprised. Randall Cobb had that great week one, but all in all, I'm kind of surprised by the fantasy output from these guys. This is one of the biggest offenses in football.
I think with Aaron being injured, well, a little bit injured, I guess you could say, he's not, you know, he's all in the shotgun. You know, he's not doing too much of, like you said, you know, scrambling, doing all that. And it's changing things. It's changing the way he and Graham are going to connect. He just needs to heal that leg a little bit more. I'm behind my man Rodgers. He'll get it done.
I'm behind Rodgers. I'm behind Graham, though.
I think they'll find their rhythm. Jimmy Graham is a great touchdown, you know, great set of hands, tight end. They'll find their rhythm.
Yeah.
Oh, I think what's hurting Graham right now is there's no play action.
Yes.
Because Rodgers is either in the pistol or he's in the shotgun for every single one of the snaps, which means there's really no play action. So there's no, like, threat of kind of a run game. So when you don't really have that, the play action frees up the tight end because the linebackers don't know if he's going to be blocking or going out and all that kind of stuff that goes down to the running game succeeding like that. So I think once he gets more comfortable and healthier and he has more mobility, he'll start going under center more, they'll get the run game going more, they'll get the play action, and then that'll free up Graham to be open somewhere in the middle of the field where the linebackers are charging in if they fall for the play action there.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of the running game, Aaron Jones is back this week.
Yeah, we can talk about him, but finally. I mean,
that's true. Yeah, he is definitely the more explosive of the three, but I'm not sure how much of the field he'll see because they do like Ty Montgomery catching passes. They do like Jamal Williams pass blocking. And then Aaron Jones is that home run threat that, you know, can break off a play. But I just don't know how much any of the three are going to see of the field at any time.
Yeah, so I think that Aaron Jones, it's tough because I feel like in the draft, he dropped a lot from his two-game suspension. Whereas you see a guy like Mark Ingram, I guess he's a lot more viable for a sure thing. He didn't drop quite so far. But I feel like Aaron Jones dropped a lot. Does that mean that he's not really even worthy of being started in fantasy this first week back? Or, I mean, do we have to wait? Or can somebody who's desperate or somebody who's waiting for Le'Veon Bell to come back use Aaron Jones this week? You know, is he going to be viable? I think that I think he's going to be their main guy going forward, but I'm hesitant to start him this week just because I don't know how much usage he's going to get. What about you Packers fans? Where do you think he ranks among your running backs? Where would you like to see him? How much usage?
I would want him to be used
more than Jamal Williams.
I think he's a little bit more, I don't know if I'd say athletic. I don't know. He seems to really just boom out the gate when you give him the ball. I mean, my thing is this. If you're asking this week, I have Aaron Jones. I'm not starting him. I don't think. You got to see what's going on with this offense right now. The run game is super slow. They're not really using that right now, especially since you said with all the different ways that they're lining up once they get up there, you know, they're not utilizing the run game. I think that you should wait on Aaron Jones for this week, no matter how desperate.
Yeah,
I totally agree. I mean, the only reason Jamal Williams even got in last year was, so last year they started out with Ty Montgomery and then he got injured and then Aaron Jones came in and he really impressed, but then he also got injured. So then Jamal Williams came in and he was that steady force that was there the rest of the way and he's a good pass blocker and all this and that. And then Aaron Jones came back in and I think he had that game-winning touchdown run against the Browns or something in overtime. But But yeah, I mean, I think especially with the factor of Rodgers being injured and them liking Jamal Williams as the pass blocker, I think he probably just de facto sees the field more. And then as they work in Aaron Jones and then maybe 2 or 3 weeks down the road and Rodgers is feeling a little bit better, you can kind of sprinkle him in there more. But at the moment, I think it's Williams for the most part, but I wouldn't be surprised if Jones gets a bunch of, like, those, you know, they're going to run kind of plays, like a 1st and 10 or a 3rd and 2 or something like that.
Quick question before we jump off them. Do you have Jerron Ryleson on your bench? Is he a guy you grab? Is he a sleeper?
I think if you have someone get injured or if you're feeling really not thrilled with your bench, like if you have a Kelvin Benjamin or something that, like, you know you're going to drop him anyway, then maybe. But I personally do not have him right now just because I just don't know where the upside with this offense is with Rodgers' injury at the moment. So I just don't think they're as explosive as they could be, which is going to hurt Allison before it hurts anyone else.
So maybe in the future, Devontae Adams gets injured. He's gotten hurt before. Maybe you look into their wide receiver depth. So.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of Devontae Adams, he has been super consistent for like 2 years in a row now. I mean, the past 2 weeks, even with Rodgers kind of in and out, hampered, whatever, Devontae Adams still gets the ball. He still finds the end zone. And last year, they had Brett Hundley for like 8 or 9 weeks, and Devontae Adams still finished as a top 10 wide receiver. It's just, yeah, that's impressive.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that he's going to, their offense, their play callers are know that he's their big target, so he's going to be getting looks no matter who's behind the center.
Oh, yeah. I hate to compare him to a legend like Larry Fitzgerald, but somehow he produced with less than stellar quarterback play.
Yeah. You like to make your crazy comparisons. I know that.
I do.
Mariota and Rodgers, I heard that.
Ugh.
Yeah, that was you that compared those two, Jason.
Well, that would take that in the back.
Well, in the meantime, the Bears.
Man, Allen Robinson saved me the other day by getting targeted just a shit ton.
I'd say he's the biggest surprise. I mean, I think that he was drafted pretty highly, but I didn't think that he was going to be as good as he was drafted. But clearly he's been getting a high volume in Chicago there. That seems to be Trubisky's favorite receiving option.
Yeah, right now it's just been him and Taylor Gabriel. I think a lot of people expected Trey Burton to have a bigger role in this, but as of right now, it's looking like it's Allen Robinson. Even Jordan Howard is getting a lot more passes out of the backfield than he did last year.
Yeah, he is.
And then Taylor Gabriel, too.
Yeah, that was another thing I was going to say, is Howard is definitely being used more over Tariq Cohen. Last year, it seemed like they used Tariq Cohen a lot more, especially in the passing game, and Howard seems to be getting a lot more of those looks. He still really hasn't produced that much. I don't think he's scored a touchdown yet.
No. Yeah, Howard, I just think the Bears haven't really been running away with anything yet.
Yeah.
I know week one they started out 17-0 and they were up like 20-0 or something like that against the Packers. But even then, it didn't really seem like they were just going to like hand off the ball three times in a row to Howard and just kind of let him do his thing. And then last week, they had a very just – the offense just couldn't get rolling, but – the defense on the other side was so good that they were just stuffing the Seahawks. I felt so bad for Russell Wilson. That guy, on some of those plays, he would get the snap and the shotgun, and literally within a second or two, he would have three guys on him. Like, that offensive line was no better than five cardboard cutouts of a couple midgets. Like, it was so bad. He had no time. He was just running for his life back there, just getting hit, and passes were just getting deflected at the line, and he just couldn't get anything going.
Well, you guys should know. You guys dealt with them week one.
That's true. Yeah, Khalil Mack is, that guy is, he's a problem.
Yeah, you want to know who's running away with the ball with Chicago? It's Khalil Mack. It's not the offense. Yeah. It's Khalil Mack.
This is the first time that I've actually talked about one individual person having such fantasy relevance from the defensive side of the ball. I think that Bears defense right now is the number two fantasy defense because of one guy. I think.
Oh, yeah. Did you see that infographic? I think it was maybe SportsCenter or ESPN or something like that put out that Khalil Mack, as a defensive player no less, has more counting statistics in almost every category than the entire Raiders defense.
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
Like, he has more forced fumbles, he has more fumbles recovered, he has more interceptions, more touchdowns, more everything.
I wonder if there's going to be a meme that comes out of, like, John Gruden's sad face.
It's actually John Gruden with Michael Jordan's crying face, if you're wondering. Okay. It's already out there.
All right, well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think, like you said before, Trey Burton has kind of been a little bit worse than most people expected him. I think he's gotten 2 touchdowns already, and he's still only the 18th-ranked tight end. So that tells you that he's not really being used too much. Trubisky, 23rd-ranked quarterback, kind of where you would expect him to be. So nothing really crazy coming out of their offense. But, yeah, if you have their defense – that's really the best fantasy player you can have from that team.
Yeah, they're definitely surprising a lot of people jumping out the gate. I don't think people expected the defense to be this good so far.
But we'll move from a team that doesn't have many fantasy startable players to a team that has every fantasy startable player, the Minnesota Vikings. Holy cow, that's an offense, I'll tell you that.
I would say this week, you could start both of their running backs with confidence.
Both of the running backs?
Yeah, because they're playing the
Buffalo,
Bills.
That's true.
Yeah, and they're probably going to be up a lot very quickly.
Yeah.
And especially last week, Dalvin Cook left, or I don't think he left, but he was hampered, we'll say, by an injury towards the end of the game. So if you're the Vikings coach and you're the Vikings front office and you're going into a game with Buffalo and you're up 21-3 in the second quarter, do you put Dalvin Cook back out there for the second half, or do you just roll with Latavius Murray and just let him run down the clock?
You make it at least a 4-score game, at least until the fourth quarter, and then you put in your backup running back. But I'd say 4 scores is usually where they start to just take out their starters for good.
Yeah, and you could expect, I mean, Thielen and Diggs have just been unstoppable so far this year. I've been surprised because I was not a Thielen believer,
yeah,
but he's pretty damn good.
He showed that it's not even just like the usage. He literally has the skills. That man, that touchdown hit that he caught week 2, that was literally, I forget, Kirk Cousins threaded the needle in between two defenders, and
Thielen really was
just falling on his butt and caught it like mid-fall while turning around.
That was very
crazy
impressive.
Athleticism.
Maybe a Packers fan, but as my fantasy name says, I'm hooked on a Thielen. Okay. No, I had to say it. Okay, I think he is one of those people that kind of flew under the radar last year. I drafted him.
I digs that team name.
Oh God.
No more.
Yeah, we're done. But yeah, no. I think he's just one of those guys that really just falls under the radar. I mean, last year I was telling Nick this stat. He only had 4 touchdowns, but
he
was that guy getting catch after catch, being athletic, making the athletic plays. I love Adam Thielen. I think he's one of those guys that just everyone's kind of not ready. Like, who? How do you pronounce his last name? Thielen.
Thy leg. But yeah, I think any of their fantasy players are crazy upside. Dalvin Cook, the running back, crazy upside. Stephon Diggs, all season long I'm talking about. Adam Thielen.
Oh, yeah.
Kyle Rudolph, you know, he's still getting his looks in the red zone. I mean,
that was my pick for the number one tight end this year.
Yeah, I mean, I still don't know how I feel about number one, but I think he's definitely getting his looks still. He hasn't quite
the tight end position is shallow, my friend.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, but he's ranked 10 right now, so it's not as shallow as you think, I guess.
That's true. But I do expect Jared Cook to fall off. I expect Jack Doyle to fall off. I mean, it's possible.
Yeah. But yeah, I think Latavius Murray, he's tough because, I mean, like you said, you could start him this week, but that's solely just a matchup play. It's tough. I don't think you can really own him in your league right now, but if Dalvin Cook were to get hurt, he's a must own and a must start. So
if he gets hurt, he's a running back too right away.
Yeah, you know, so he's one of those players where, you know, he's kind of stuck in limbo. The best new face to the Minnesota Vikings fantasy reason wise is Dan Bailey. He's automatic, Dan Bailey. So I think he's been picked up in probably every fantasy league that he's in, you know. I think there's some pretty crappy kickers out there, and he's going to show that he is still one of the better ones out there. So if he's still available in your league and you need one, Greg's our line filler.
Dark day in kicker history.
Yeah, how about that?
Our line going out before the game, the Minnesota kicker missing 3. There was a lot of kickers who did bad.
Chris Boswell's been doing bad. I mean, and he was one of the higher projected kickers this year. I mean, I don't even... Zane, whatever his name is, Johnson or whatever, from the Cleveland Browns, that poor guy. I didn't see that he got fired yet. I'm kind of surprised by that. He got fired, right?
Wait, did not release him
Did
yet?
They? Maybe they did.
I haven't heard anything about that.
They had to.
I did see a report though.
I mean,
that after the Vikings game, they cut Dan Carlson almost immediately.
Yeah.
And after the Vikings game, someone a reporter asked Mike Zimmer like, how hard was it to make the decision to move on from the kicker here. And he was like, it was the easiest decision I've ever made.
I feel bad for kickers, man. That's got to be, like, the toughest position. You face the most pressure, and you're, like, the most disposable.
Man, like, you're like a referee. Like, when you do your job, no one says anything. But when you mess up, you're just, like, vilified.
And all it takes is really, like, one shitty game to really just, like, ruin your career.
Grab the pitchforks. That's all you need.
Literally. It's such a volatile position. I feel bad for those guys. Kudos to the guys,
like,
who are good.
You only notice them when they're not doing their job.
Yeah,
exactly.
All right, well, let's move on to the last team in the NFC North, the Detroit Lions.
Speaking of not doing your job.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, man, I don't have much other than, like, Golden Tate and Marvin Jones. Like, Matt Stafford, if he keeps throwing picks like they're going out of style and the running backs have, like, four or five guys getting carries, I don't want anything to do with any of that.
Yeah, I always thought that this was such, like, a really good offense, too. So I was just like, Matthew Stafford, as bad of an NFL quarterback as he might be, he still usually throws for, like, 300 yards and three touchdowns each game. So for a fantasy perspective,
he's picked up, like, 4,000 passing yards in, like, the last five consecutive seasons. I think I saw a stat that he's, like, the youngest player to a certain milestone of yards, like something crazy, and he beat out, like, Peyton Manning, Dan Marino. Like, he gets the passing yards, but he just, like, makes bad decisions, and he gets these interceptions that are just bad, and then he's in an offense that just passes it, like, 50 times a game, so he has tons of opportunities to pick up those yards. But I can't start Matt Stafford. I can't have him on my team. The running backs, they have, like, four of them with, like, Abdullah, LeGarrette Blount, Theo Riddick, and then Kerryon Johnson. I just don't want any of them. So, I mean, I have Golden Tate on my team, and he's been outstanding so far, because out of 50 times Matt Stafford's hurling the ball, Golden Tate's getting targeted on, like, 15 of them a game. So I'm okay if that keeps going.
Yeah, they've all been mediocre, it looks like, so far.
I think Kenny Golladay is a guy that you could definitely stash on your team. He's, last week, I think, 20 points he ended up getting in
regular.
Yeah,
he has looked good. He's looked good.
Yeah.
But I feel like he's still, like, the number three wide receiver, as good as he is. They're one of those teams that uses, like, their three wide receivers interchangeably, so any one of those three, Galladay, Marvin Jones, or Golden Tate, could have the week that week. So it's tough.
I think they're using in different ways, though. Like, you know, I think Marvin Jones and Kenny Galladay are definitely interchangeable. Like, if one has a big game, that means the other didn't have a big game. Like, whatever one gets, the other has to have taken away or whatever. But I think Golden Tate is in, like, a different category, where he's that kind of Julian Edelman or Wes Welker, whatever you want to say, the slot guy, that I don't think his targets are really affected by whatever Galladay and Marvin Jones do, you know?
Yeah, I think Tate's obviously the number one guy. I think you're going to start him every week unless he gets hurt. But I don't know. I wish that that offense was performing. I think they'll come around. I think in total, Matthew Stafford is a veteran in this league. I don't think that he's going to just overnight kind of become washed up. So I think they're struggling coming out of the gate, but I'd stick with them. Don't sell low on Marvin Jones yet. Don't reach for Galladay or anything like that. But definitely not the greatest start of the season for the Detroit Lions. All right.
Yeah, it doesn't help when you have to compete with the Packers and the Vikings, who are both Super Bowl contenders, either.
Oh, I know. All right, well, we're getting pretty close to the end of our time, so let's go through the NFC West real quick. You already kind of went through the Rams and kind of talked about their offense works and everything. Todd Gurley, obviously, he's going to be the focal point of that offense. He's probably could get, like, two touchdowns a game, like, regularly, so obviously you're going to be starting him no matter what. Rams defense, just as good as we thought they were. Still one of the top defenses in the league. Start them every week, regardless of matchup.
Yeah, they're killing it.
I think the Rams are the best team in the NFL, like, outside of fantasy, so I think that's going to, obviously, go over to fantasy as well. But honestly, other than those two, it's tough. Legatron's
I mean,
a must-start guy when he's healthy, but other than that, there's just like they have so many weapons that they're gonna spread the ball around. You know, the wide receivers, Brandon Cooks, Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp. You know, those guys are all gonna get looks every game, so it's tough to know which one you want to start, but.
I would say if you have the choice between Cooks and Kupp, I'm looking at their stats right now, and I kind of thought this before, but they both have similar targets. Like Cooks has been targeted 17 times through 2 games, and Kupp has been targeted 15 times for 11 catches, and Brandon Cooks has 12 catches. But the major discrepancy is of those 12 catches for Cooks, he's got 246 yards, whereas Kupp's 11 catches got him 115.
Yeah.
So Cooks is clearly that deep threat, and he's getting targeted the same amount. He's got pretty much the same conversion rate. So I think Cooks is just that home run guy where he'll get you. He could easily have a game where, you know, the Julio game from a couple of years ago where, you know, he just ends up with like 13 catches for like 250 yards and just like destroys it, just shreds a defense. I could easily see that happening. Whereas Kupp, I don't think is as likely.
Yeah, we'll see. I think like at this point, their three wide receivers are all projected 12 points, so that's pretty much a testament of how that offense is run.
Yeah, I think it's just because you can't focus on anyone. When you have Gurley flying out of the backfield and Goff just not making any mistakes, and you have these three solid wide receivers, the defense can't key in on anyone, really.
Yeah. Got anything to add?
I just I think Brandon Cooks is the one that I'd probably lean more towards. Just starting.
Yeah, I think if you have options between them, Cooks is the guy. Now, the question comes into when you have Cooks versus other guys. So, if you anybody out there has questions, start 'em, sit 'ems, just tweet at us at PPR underscore official. We're on Twitter. I'm very responsive. So, any questions you have, who to start, who to sit, trade, who you think gets the better side of a trade, tweet us. We'll get back to you. There's definitely a lot of response there on Twitter. So moving on though, let's go on to Seattle. Seattle Seahawks. They're definitely dealt a bad set of cards to begin the season, losing Doug Baldwin, their major
Yeah, true.
offensive weapon, for at least a couple weeks. I don't know about your guys' leagues, but he got dropped in multiple leagues that I've been in. And this is really only a multi-week, a couple-week absence. And it sounds terrible. A grade 2 MCL sprain. That sounds pretty awful. But it really isn't as bad as it sounds. So if he's a free agent in the league, go pick him up. Stash him. Because once he comes back, he's not going to be healthy all season long. But he knew that going into the season already. That was before this injury. So he's one of those guys. He's a fighter. He'll play through it. And so if he's playing, he's almost a must start, at the very least a flex player, you know, so because that's who they go to.
He began the season saying he was at 85%.
Yeah.
That's a little worrisome, but that means he's still willing to fight through, you know, playing through that.
And that was a problem with his other knee.
Yeah,
Coming
exactly.
into the season, he had that problem with his other knee, and then week one, he injured the other one. So he's got two bum knees now. Yeah, I think it's worth picking him up. And I mean, obviously, you never know what can happen. He could come back and light the world on fire. You just never know. But I don't have a ton of faith in that just because of how bad the offensive line is. They don't have a running game right now, so the defenses aren't really going to be stacking the box, I guess, against them. And Russ doesn't have much in the way of other options. I mean, he's got Will Dissly, who kind of came out of nowhere, and I don't see that going the whole season. But
I think it
I mean,
could.
outside of Russ, I don't have any answers for you here. I don't have any faith in anything else.
I think for that reason alone, the fact that he doesn't have many options, Dissly, this rookie tight end, could be one of the main targets for us. Other than Dissly, I think the established guy is Tyler Lockett, who I think that while Doug Baldwin is out, you kind of need to start Tyler Lockett or at least have him on your roster because there's nobody else to throw to there, you know?
Yeah,
So
for sure, for sure.
it's them, him and
Although,
Brandon Marshall. That's it.
guys, is there a chance that Brandon Marshall can extend his record and get a 1,000-yard receiving season with another team?
Well, he didn't do it with the Giants, I know that.
Yeah, but he already has the NFL record because he's had 1,000-yard seasons with four NFL teams. Can he make it five and extend his own personal record? Is it possible? I mean, with Baldwin being out, and Russ needing to throw to someone, can he do it?
I mean, I don't think so. I mean, he could, but he got 46 yards and 44 yards in the first 2 weeks, and the second week Doug Baldwin didn't even play, so I'm going to go on a limb and say no, he needs to have a couple hundred-yard games, at least a couple, and I don't think he's going to do that. I think, again, Tyler Lockett's going to be the guy who's getting at least 10 to 15 looks a game, probably 10 catches a game. If maybe that's a little high, but still. He's going to be getting most of the workload there. Like you said, their run game is just atrocious. Rashad Penny, the running back who people thought might be good. No, he hasn't done jack shit. Chris Carson, he hasn't done anything. So I think this tight end seems to be one of Russ's favorite targets so far. Will Disley. So if you have tight end issues, if you had, like me, I had Delanie Walker in a 12-man league and lost him. So Disley was really all I had out there. I think he could be a good filler. But yeah, Russell Wilson, quarterback. I think he's usually a top five fantasy quarterback, but he's kind of struggling with the issues that they're having on offense there. So I could see you starting quarterbacks like Ryan Fitzpatrick over Russell Wilson right now, because Russell Wilson just, he doesn't have the weapons around him to really be relevant fantasy wise, I don't think.
Even versus Dallas, you would not want
to
start.
I mean, maybe this week versus Dallas.
Okay.
I'm just talking about season long.
Yeah.
I think that Russell Wilson is definitely not where he was drafted as well as he was drafted for per se.
Although, isn't it kind of ironic that for the past couple of years, the Seahawks had Jimmy Graham, who was one of the better scoring tight ends, red zone targets, kind of rebounder, whatever you want to call it, and they didn't really use him a whole lot. And now here, as soon as Jimmy Graham is gone, they love the tight end position.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's just,
I just think it's
kind of
weird. I just don't understand it. But
I don't think Pete
maybe that's why I'm not an NFL coach.
A specific way. I think he kind of just wakes up each morning and is like, oh, this is what I think today. He's one of those.
I just think it's funny that Jimmy Graham just kind of had an underwhelming couple seasons, not even fantasy-wise, but just, like, producing on the field. And then as soon as he's gone, the first 2 weeks, the tight end just kind of blows up fantasy-wise. I just think it's so ironic.
All right, let's bang through these last couple. I think we're only going to get through the NFC tonight, by the way. We might have to do the AFC later in the week with another episode. But yeah, 49ers, San Francisco. Again, they have been hit by that injury bug, so all of their fantasy-relevant players, such as Marquise Goodwin and Jerick McKinnon, are obviously out of commission. So that really leaves Matt Breida, Kittle, really the only fantasy options that you might want to start. I don't really know.
About to say, Goodwin, I think, is coming back this week. It was like a deep thigh bruise that was his issue.
Is he startable, though, even when he's healthy?
I don't
healthy?
Know. I can't. I don't persuade
him. I wouldn't start him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that offense is definitely struggling a little bit. They're coming back down to earth. Jimmy Garoppolo obviously won every game that he started last season, and so he led on all the San Francisco fans, made them think that their team is going to be, like, top NFC team, but no, it doesn't look like that. I think they're just going to be barely competing for, like, middle of the division.
I got to say, I believed the hype in the offseason. I was like, wow, I got to get Marquise Goodwin, man. They're going to be going off, you know. Still going to keep him on my team. He's not droppable by any stance.
No, yeah, definitely roster him.
Yeah, I just don't see, you know, right now, I wouldn't start him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Kittle and Breida are the only ones that I would keep on my team. I just don't know what Jimmy G's going to be doing when he gets Goodwin back. And he does like the tight end position, so I think Kittle is a good one to have and start if you need to. Breida, I think you start him, but I'm still kind of – I don't know why, but I'm still kind of nervous about Alfred Morris with that, because he came in, and as soon as he came in, all the reports were like, oh, Alfred Morris is doing great, and he has that previous history with Shanahan. So I just – I don't want anything to do with that running back situation there.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of straying away from that whole team over there.
Even Breida, he has He's ranked number 12 among fantasy running backs, but a lot of that came on one play last week where I think he had like a 75-yard rush or something, rushing touchdown or something like that.
Yeah, so I
would avoid that team until they figure out their identity. I don't think they really know who they are in San Francisco yet.
Kittle, maybe, if you're tight end.
Yeah, if you need him, like you said, Jason, if you need him. But even him, you know, I would rather start other tight ends than Kittle right now.
Mm. Yeah, it's just such a shallow position. Sometimes you just he's the best you got. And Jimmy G does like that tight end. I think I saw some numbers that he really targeted the tight end position at the end of last year. And this year, I saw some reports that him and Kittle were really tight in training camp, and then week one, he kind of blew up, and then this past week, it was only two catches for like 20-something yards or whatever, but I think going forward, yeah, him and Kittle will be a good tandem over there.
Yeah, well, that brings us to the last team. It sucks to end on such a sad note. Do we even want to talk about the Arizona Cardinals?
They just remind me of that meme of the stick figure guy with a stick just poking like something, just saying do something. It just reminds me of that. Like, I'm gonna read you a stat line here, and this is a real
I'm already cringing
that actually
ahead.
Happened in the NFL. Sam Bradford threw 27 passes. He completed 17 of them for a grand total of 90 yards, 9-0, and one pick. No touchdowns, obviously.
Is that an
NFL? They
scored
like one offensive touchdown, and it was a David Johnson like goal line rush or something. And David Johnson is like not getting targeted, which is just shocking to me because they handed him all this money, and his last healthy season in 2016, he had like 40 touches a game, it seemed like, or like 40 opportunities with targets and carries and everything, and he's just getting nowhere close to that right now. He's a supremely talented running back. He's probably the best pass-catching running back in all of the NFL, and they're just not using him at all, which is shocking to me because Sammy Sleeves loves the check down, but he's just not doing it with David Johnson, which
I don't
understand.
I don't understand. It leads me to the question, when's Rosen going to get in? And
I would say sooner than later. I think it's coming soon.
Their team just looks awful. You know, they're getting nothing out of the offense. My favorite was the gif I saw of Josh Rosen on the sideline in the middle of that last game where they got smoked and blown out, where he's just yawning. In like mid-yawn, I think he realizes that the camera's on him, so he like starts smiling and smirking. And it's just like he knows that this is so boring. And
oh, yeah.
It's just like, dude, you gotta give the young guy a shot. To when you're doing this bad, I think he could be a spark for guys like David Johnson and Larry Fitzgerald, but right now that is such an unfortunate team.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, Sam Bradford, I gotta say, I'm really impressed with him though, because he might be one of the best con artists in NFL history. He somehow managed, I mean, not all of it was his fault. He had some really bad injuries early in his career, but especially in the later half, once he went to the Eagles and then the Vikings and out here, he somehow managed to convince all these franchises to just hand him, like, multi-million dollars. And I don't get it.
Here's a good stat for you. Sam Bradford is the 32nd ranked fantasy quarterback. Josh Rosen is the 35th ranked fantasy quarterback. Josh Rosen hasn't played a snap of football. He's only three ranks behind him.
Oh, man.
That team is just, it's completely downhill right now. I mean, you have, like you said, you have David Johnson just being completely unutilized. I mean, it's insane to me how they're not feeding him more.
Yeah, and it's the passing game, too. Like, he's not getting looks in the passing game, which is where you said Sam Bradford likes the check down. Show me. I need to see that, because they definitely used him that way before, so.
Yeah, I mean, David Johnson, he has 11 targets this year in two games. Six catches for 33 yards.
Ugh.
At this point, when Sam Bradford is putting up a 17 for 27 with 90 passing yards total, I don't even think Larry is startable.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, I got to that point where I just went in one of my leagues where I have him as my wide receiver two, and I picked up a different wide receiver two, and he's now my flex, and now he's competing with other people for the flex spot, so
yeah, until they take Bradford out, like, you can't rely on Fitzgerald, because you can't expect him to get a five catch 90-100 yard game with a touchdown or whatever when the quarterback is himself isn't even throwing 90 yards.
Yeah. But anyway, that wraps up the team-by-team analysis, at least from the NFC. If we make another episode this week, we were thinking about it. If we can get Matt back in the studio, we will do that and go over the AFC. In the meantime, I think we had one more segment that you wanted to do, Jason. A little spin-off of a segment that we've been doing.
Yeah. So I think I got my shot of Fireball here. And in the past, it has psychedelically delivered to me knowledge of some hot takes, which I think worked better before the season when you could have hot takes about where guys would rank and whatever and blah, blah, blah. But I think as the season goes on, realistically, any guy could blow up at any moment. I think no one would have predicted Will Disley to be the number two tight end and Jared Cook to be the number one tight end after week one. So I think at any point, there really aren't any hot takes for like week to week
season long
projections, because anyone can finish number one realistically. So I think this will be the Fireball fire start of the week of someone that is either not owned in all the leagues, or if they are, they are probably on your bench, but they should be in your starting lineup. And so I got my shot. I will take it right now. Ooh. All right, so that is bringing me back to what we talked about at the very beginning with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, God.
And I don't know if Matt will like this one or not like this one.
Sorry, but Matt's up in the sky right now, so.
But I would say it's Corey Clement, because, and the reason why I say I don't think Matt would like it is because Jay Ajayi is on his team, which means I don't think Jay Ajayi will play. But, so it looks like Jay Ajayi probably will not play this week, or at least is going to be very limited. So I would say put Corey Clement in your starting lineup. I think especially with Sproles being limited or being out, Corey Clement would get a lot of work in the passing game, even if Ajayi is there. And even if Ajayi is not there, Corey Clement's going to get a boatload of touches. And with Carson Wentz coming back, I just think only good things are going to happen with Corey Clement this week. So I would say if you can get him and start him. If you already have him, start him. He should be in your starting lineup.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good. I don't know how hot that is, though. I think that with JJ, are you talking about season long or just this week?
I would say just this week. But even season long, I don't think it's unreasonable to have Clement on your team to put him in certain matchups, or if Ajayi gets hurt again or something like that. But yeah, especially for this week.
Yeah, he's definitely worth rostering if you haven't rostered him. And again, I agree with you. I think this week in particular, if Jay Ajayi is out, Sproles is still getting healthy himself, this is definitely going to be one of the better weeks for Clement to get a start. All right, well, I think that we are coming to a conclusion for the night. I'd like to thank our special guest, Tori Chance, for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Last minute, we needed some fillers so we could get this episode out to you guys. So I appreciate that. We'll definitely be looking to have more guests in the future as well, just to join us, you know, hopefully not as a filler, but either way, it was much appreciated. Glad to have your advice as part of the show.
Thank you.
Jason, any closing words?
No, I think I'm good.
I think that says it. Well, I guess have a great night, everybody. Matt, we'll see you soon next time, hopefully. Everybody else, have a good night.
So long.